Not now and not ever. You understand me?
Jack recognized the lethal edge to the one-eyed man's voice. He nodded slowly, his body relaxing.
Sit down.
Don't want to talk.
The girl's pestering you, talking foolish and teasing, that sort of thing?
No.
No?
No more.
How do you mean more, Jack?
Was pissing. Nobody near. Sharon came. Talked about fucking. Dropped her pants. Lay down, legs open. Said fuck, or she'd tell father.
Ryan had a flash of insight as to what had gone through the teenager's mind. Jack wasn't like other 15-year-olds, and wouldn't be pressured by anybody to do anything he didn't want to do.
Jack, you didn't chill her. Didn't slit her throat, did you? Did you?
The boy grinned, showing wolfish teeth.
No, would have told you that.
You fuck the girl?
No, Ryan.
Let me just get this straight, Jack. Sharon Vare came outside the Wags while you were pissing. Said she wanted you to fuck with her, and if you didn't, she'd go tell her father that you'd done it anyway. Claim you'd raped her. That it?
Guess so.
You didn't. And since I haven't heard anyone screaming about a lynching, it looks like she hasn't told her father anything.
Yeah, but said she wouldn't.
What?
Ryan dropped his head in disgust.
Fireblast, I'm really getting puzzled here, Jack.
Says loves me. Says won't cause trouble. But says we'll tell if I don't change my mind. Fuck her, marry her.
Which? Fuck or marry?
Both.
Oh, great.
Ryan looked around them, catching the scent of wood smoke from the guard fires.
You don't much want to do either, Jack. Is that about right? Neither?
Right. No fuck, no marry.
Well, we won't be with this train that long. As soon as we get someplace we can find some transport, we'll leave. Horses, wags, anything. There's a town coming up tomorrow. Might be something there. Until then, just be careful, Jack.
Sure, Ryan. Sure.
The trail became broader and easier to follow, and the wags made better time. JB announced that there were recent wheel marks on the dusty surface of the blacktop.
Could be real close to that ville, Major.
Salvation?
That's it. And it looks as if there's some action around there. Must be the tracks of 8 or 10 different wags here.
By cracky, that's the best news I heard in a while.
Unless the wags belong to Skullface.
Elder Vare still refused to allow any scouting to go on.
If the Lord wants us to plunge into the abyss, then that's his will. We just anger him by trying to guess what he's doing. We share our luck together.
And get fucked together.
It was close to sunset when the first of the wags breasted the hill that had slowed them throughout all the afternoon. The driver reined in.
Major Ward, come here!
Almost everyone in the party came to see what the fuss was. Ryan and his companions were among the leaders, trying to walk near the front and to one side of the wags, avoiding the dust thrown up from the big wheels. They stood together and stared out across a wide plain, which was cradled by some low hills about 20 miles to the west. Ryan eased the G-12 caseless on his shoulder, where the strap was rubbing. Though the light was almost gone, it wasn't difficult to make out the remains of a town below them. From where they stood, there was no way of determining how badly it had been damaged by the nuking 100 years ago.
Damn.
But it wasn't the clutter of buildings straggling off a narrow main street that held everyone's attention. It was the rod straight railroad lines running away from Salvation and the tiny object that moved along them toward the hills, trailing a plume of dark smoke.
And there she is.
Dawn broke from a dull, overcast sky, a light drizzle filtering through from the north. Ward called a meeting, attended by Elder Vare and his cabal, as well as Ryan and his friends. They'd already eaten breakfast, and all of them now hugged metal mugs of coffee sub, steaming in the cool air. The Major opened things up.
That's Salvation. Map shows it right smack dab where it should be.
Water there?
The Wagmaster shook his head.
Not so's I'd know it.
Doesn't look like any signs of life there. No water, so why go there?
I believe there will be food there. The Lord provides even to those who do not believe.
Oh, I believe, Elder Vare. I believe in a whole lot of things. But I don't believe in going blind into a ville that looks deserted. Not unless there's some real good reason.
I wish to go. That is reason enough.
And you'll go in first?
The sting in Ryan's voice made the older man hesitate, eyes shifting nervously from side to side.
Me?
You. First man in gets the first bullet from the shadows.
What bullet? How do you know there will be a bullet from the shadows?
I don't. Then again, neither do you.
How about that train? That means someone's around.
Sure. But do we all go in at once? Or do you want us outlanders to test the water for you?
Ward looked from there to Ryan and back again, rubbing his chin worriedly.
I'm darnation if I know what's best. Elder, you pay the piper. You get to call the tune.
Ryan watched, interested. He raised his questions partly to antagonize the preacher, who he'd come to greatly dislike. Christy had spent 10 minutes just after first light gazing down into the small vill, and she'd seen no sign of life. Nor did she feel any imminent danger. So as far as Ryan was concerned, salvation was safe to visit.
Perhaps. The Lord's will must be served. We seek only the place of green grass and fresh spring water, far to the west from here.
Yeah, I know that, Elder, but how's about this vill yonder? Do we go round or through? Or does Ryan here go take a look first?
Let him look.
Bear spun around and walked briskly to his own wag. All six of the companions went. The drizzle had stopped, and the clouds were slowly clearing from the south. Ryan looked out in that direction, wondering if there truly was another cryo center off toward the Grandee. He decided that they should leave the wag train in the next couple of days, steal horses, food, and water, and head out. The guards weren't fighting men, and they could get away easily enough. The moral imperative was simple for Ryan Cotter. He and the others couldn't get where they wanted to go without transport, and that meant horses, since there were no power wags anywhere, unless you counted the mysterious locomotive.
There doesn't seem to be much structural damage. Neutron bombs, I guess.
One of the few things that saved Deathlands from being even worse was the neutron bomb. Some of the nukes used in 2001 had been conventional dirty weapons, causing enormous devastation and 99.99% mortality from ground zero to 8 miles out. And seeping rad leakage wiped out millions more over a larger radius, leaving the breeding genetic mutations to multiply until mankind became the inheritor of fleshly chaos. A neutron bomb killed just the same as any other kind of nuke missile, but left buildings standing, as long as they weren't too close to the strike zone. That didn't help the general populace, but at least it was something for the next few enfeebled generations that came after. Ryan knew places in Deathlands, mainly the once great conurbations, that were totally and irreversibly destroyed. But there were also a lot of vills that had been hit by concentrations of neutron bombs. There, the people had gone, but the walls remained. And that was how Salvation Texas looked as they walked cautiously down the blacktop toward the main street. Ryan's eye kept being drawn to the ruled metal lines that met at infinity. He knew from things that he'd read that the railroads had been all-powerful during the late 1800s and early 1900s. But by about the middle of the 1900s, their authority had declined and lines were closing everywhere. He'd seen rusting rails and worm-rotted sleepers at a lot of places out in the wilds, but he could see the way the watery sun was winking off the steel, telling of regular, recent use. But where did it go? To the distant hills? Then where? And who was running it? In order to try to find answers, Ryan decided that they should split up, contrary to the trader's usual rules about entering a strange vill.
Stay close, keep quiet, and have your finger loose on the trigger.
But Ryan had never known Christy to be wrong. If she felt there was no imminent danger in Salvation, then that was good enough for him. He and Christy took the center of the main street of the township. Mildred and Doc formed an uneasy partnership going down the north side, taking the alleys and cross streets. J.B. went with Jack on the opposite side.
The usual people. Shot or a shout come running. Meet at the far end of the vill in, say, an hour or so from now.
Salvation was a typical one-street town, the civic equivalent of a shotgun shack. Fire a blaster from one end of the main drag, and the bullet would go clean on through and out the other end. Ryan and Christy walked along the sidewalk, peering into the dusty interiors of the stores and houses. There were great clusters of weeds pushing through, but both of them noticed quickly that the vill wasn't an abandoned ghost town like some they'd visited.
Plenty of boot marks.
Right. Must be the man riding that loco wag. Use this as a base, maybe.
This skull face?
I don't know, babe. Why leave this vill empty? What do they use it for? Keep supplies? Sleep?
does make sense. The buildings, mainly adobe and crumbling stucco, were in fair shape. The wind and heat of West Texas had stripped every flake of paint from any exposed door or window, and the glass was dulled and crazed.